And now we will confess our sins and receive forgiveness from Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Brothers and sisters in Christ, God created us to know joy in communion with Him, to love all humanity, and to live in harmony with all creation. But sin separates us from God, our neighbors, and creation. And so we do not enjoy the life our Creator intended for us. By our sin, we grieve our Father, who does not desire us to come under His judgment, but to turn to Him and live. Therefore, God in His mercy has sent our Lord Jesus Christ to take our place under the law, to suffer for us, and to die the death we deserve. God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Looking to Him alone for forgiveness, let us confess our sins and receive His forgiveness in these words from Psalm 143. O Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. In your faithfulness and righteousness, come to my relief. Do not bring your servant into judgment, for no one living is righteous before you. I spread out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. We confess to you, O Lord, that we have not followed you in wholehearted devotion. We have not loved your people as your new commandment asks of us. Forgive us and renew us, Lord. In you we trust, to you we turn. The God of all grace has forgiven your sin and credited to you the righteousness of his Son, Jesus. You are his dearly loved children. Amen. We continue with our Passion History reading for today from Matthew 27. Meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Yes, it is as you say," Jesus replied. When he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him, "Don't you hear the testimony they are bringing against you?" But Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. Now it was the governor's custom at the feast to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, "Which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew it was out of envy that they had handed Jesus over to him. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him a message, "Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" asked the governor. "Barabbas," they answered. "What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called Christ?" Pilate asked. They all answered, "Crucify him." "Why? What crime has he committed? Asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, Crucify him. When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. I am innocent of this man's blood, he said. It is your responsibility. All the people answered, Let his blood be on us and on our children. Then he released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. This is the word of the Lord. We continue now by diving into God's word together today. Today, our theme of worship is that Jesus, the warrior in our place, faces Satan. And he also faces one of Satan's chief allies, the world. Our sermon text that we will be focusing on today is from John 18, chapter 38. What is truth? Retorted Pilate. With this, he went out again to the Jews gathered there and said, I find no basis for a charge against him. And this is the word of the Lord. What is real? We understand what is around us with our five senses. We've learned to know the shape and the feel of many things. You're sitting down in a chair or on your couch right now because you know that it's real. We get into our cars because we know that they're going to take us from point A to point B. But there is a limit to what we can know. You are watching or listening today for another truth you cannot see, but you do believe. You learn that truth from the Bible, God's Word. Now, not everyone believes that. The enemy of Jesus wants you to question that truth. And that enemy, Satan, he's not alone. He has an ally in his campaign against Jesus and against his followers. The world around us also challenges us to question what God tells us in the Bible. And it offers alternative lifestyles as well as a different set of answers to questions that Jesus has already answered for us. Our warrior, Jesus, he faced the world's question about what is real and what is true. He defended the truth because he knows that you and I depend on it. Jesus faced Satan's ally, the world. And this part of the conflict is important for us because it is crucial that we understand that we live in a world where God's truth is under attack. Jesus had been standing in front of the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, the man who had to decide whether to have Jesus crucified, as the Jewish leaders wanted, or to set him free. As Pilate questioned Jesus about who he was and what he had done to deserve this accusation, Jesus said, Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. On the side of truth? Jesus is talking about sides. On one side is the truth, and on the other side is deception. On that side is the liar, Satan, and he has an ally, the unbelieving world. The world around us accepts Satan's lies and challenges anyone who does not agree with it. His lies pretend to have the answers to the big questions of life, but spout nothing but nonsense. John warns us in his first letter, "Everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world." The enemy, not our Father, stands behind those lies. The world in which we live, the world which upholds those lies, is damaged and sinful. Both the earth itself and nature along with it, but also the people who parade ungodly ideas as the solutions to all the things that are wrong in the world. We shouldn't be surprised, of course, because the world thinks that Jesus and his word are nothing more than foolishness. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians that the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The world wants nothing to do with Jesus. Sometimes I have to admit that I've bitten into and half swallowed some of those lies of our anti-Christian culture. Sometimes I pick up stuff from movies or books or podcasts or music or political correctness. Those things that all champion immoral lifestyles and values that go against God's word. Those influences cause me to let down my guard at times. Even children's TV shows and movies too often convey that life is based mostly on feelings instead of what's real. "What is truth?" Pilate asked. Our world says that it is whatever you want it to be. You struggle with the world's lies too, sometimes, don't you? John went on to write in his first letter, "The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever." You see, we are designed for something far better and far bigger than just this earth. We are designed to be in an eternal relationship with our Creator, our Savior, our faith-giving God. But Satan and his ally, the world, want us to concentrate on things that pass away and not on the truth about sin and its consequences and our need for salvation. "What is truth?" retorted Pilate. Those are the words of a trapped man. Pilate voiced the words of his world and our world as well. Most of his truth was whatever came on the point of the spear. Trapped in a world of lies, Pilate couldn't even recognize the truth when he was staring it in the face. The answer to Pilate's question. Is and has always been Jesus. He told his disciples, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the truth. In other words, Jesus is the only way to understand reality. Everybody has questions about reality. Huh? What can I know and how can I know it? How can I ever understand suffering and evil? Who am I? Why am I here? What can I hope for? The world, of course, has a million answers to those questions. The world's guesses and wishes and I thinks all fail the test of truth. Jesus never said, I wish or I hope or I think or maybe. He always spoke with complete authority. What Jesus did say is this, truly I say to you. And he said it often. Jesus was certain about the truth. To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We all need the truth so badly because our world is broken. We all see it. We all know it. People hate. Nature kills. Death stalks us all. I think, say, and do the evil I know that I shouldn't. I fail far too often to do the good that I should do. Many have tried to come up with something to fix this mess of a world that we live in. They all have failed. Except one, Jesus Christ. One pure and holy life came into our world. God's Son came to tell us the whole truth and to be the truth that would battle sin, death, Satan, and a world that hates him. Throughout his entire life, he remained sinless so that he could trade his life for ours in the court of God's judgment. This is the sacred truth that we believe and confess, because it means the solution for the world's sin and for our own sin. Our truth-telling Jesus gives us the certain conviction that he will take all those who trust in him to live with him in heaven. That is the only reality that there is. Our warrior, Jesus, calls us to be warriors in this world. We don't use guns or swords like the Apostle Peter tried to use in the Garden of Gethsemane. St. Paul tells us how to wage our battles against Satan and the world in 2 Corinthians. He says, though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. The weapon that God gives us is His own powerful word. It has given us a new Christian worldview that is far superior to any other worldview that sinful people can contrive. The Word has changed us. We have a Christ-centered common sense and faith to use that Word well, so that we can bear witness to the hope and joy that we have in our Savior Jesus. Sometimes we may be tempted to think that this world is just so bad that we just need to withdraw. Throw out the TVs and computers, forbid anyone in the household to use a smartphone, cancel those subscriptions to your newspapers and your magazines, and just stay at home and read the Bible all day. But keep in mind that Jesus gives us some direction. As He prayed to His Father in heaven for His disciples during Holy Week, Jesus said, "My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world." So, consider this. After being exposed to a godless world view, whether through entertainment media, the news, or even a Facebook post, a Facebook quote that you see online, when you see those things, turn to your Bible and spend some personal and family time discussing how Christ gives us a far more truthful view of the world and life. Use those opportunities to equip yourself and your family to be confident about the real truth. Jesus has overcome the world and given you the treasure of His truth. Now go and live God's marvelous truth. Amen. We continue now with prayer. Heavenly Father, You parent us with warnings to keep us from going astray, but much more You love us and forgive us when we do go astray. Teach us to heed Your warnings, even if the lessons are hard. Move us to treasure Your forgiveness and share it with others. Lord Jesus, our Good Shepherd, preserve us from naive vulnerability to the temptations and distractions of this world. But preserve us also from the cynicism that refuses to see You at work in this world. If we must suffer for Your name, then strengthen us to face the persecution with conviction. Use our witness in tough times to lead others to You. We ask a rich measure of power and peace for our brothers and sisters around the world who are suffering as Christians. Remind them of your promises and be with them in your power to sustain them. We ask you, Lord, to bring peace to the hearts and healing to the bodies of our friends and loved ones who are ill. We now join in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.